going on here in these gifts that are given. Now, as we read the scriptures, we're going to be in verse 7 and 8 this morning. Looking at the gifts. Thank you, buddy. Looking at gifts. Now, when I mention the word gift to you, let's read these verses, verse 7 and 8. Let's back up verse 4. Now, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. We noticed there last week these different gifts and how they're distributed, how there's differences in their operation, how that the Holy Spirit puts the gift within you or gifts. Some people have more gifts than others, and that's God's business. And then the Lord Jesus administrates it. He's in charge, and we see God the Father that empowers the individual with a gift. But there's something about a gift I want you to think about that it's very important about a gift. As we look at verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Not only to profit that individual, but to profit the entire church. Everybody has a gift. Some are thinkers. Some have wisdom. Some are able to do this and able to do that. We all have differences of the type of profession that you're in. Whenever we have a Taekwondo tournament, or even around the church house, Sister Rachel is in charge of all the doctrine that needs to go on. Sister Bensie's been in it and around it. She's a big help. I've had some, Jamie and I both have had some training in first aid and CPR and some of the other things. So each one of us have been given different gifts, different knowledge. I mean, if you're an organizer, then the church needs organization. But it's the gift. Is not to make each one of us better than the other. That's not true. That's not the way it works. What it works is everybody's helping one another. Brother Scott's keeping me from putting a torch to a gas line. And so there's a lot of things. Brother Scott has a certain mentality for looking at construction or electrical or whatever, and we can solve those problems. And that's what happens in the church. If you look back at the Old Testament, God said, I gave wisdom to this family to do this, and this family to do that. This family was woodworkers. This family was a seamstress idea where they sewed all the curtains together. So God puts within us those gifts. Others have administrative gifts. And in this day and age, computer gifts. Knowing what to do over here and what to do over there. Some of budgeting. Money's type of gift and whatnot. So with that in mind, it's to benefit, profit with all. Now, he says in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. But I notice in the next phrase, so what's the difference? Because he mentions in the next phrase, to another the word of knowledge by the Spirit. Did you notice the word itself? And in that ability to teach and to preach and to proclaim, to be able to explain. That's a really hard thing to do, is to get people to explain. I get around some of the agronomists in the golf industry, or you get around chefs, or you get around this person or that person that might have a different specialty and whatever, and to get them to explain it is sometimes you want to pull your hair out. I was watching a video the other day, and Tiger Woods was doing something, and some other golfers that were really good, four or five of them that are, you know, the best in the world right now, he mentioned something, and one of the golfers looked at him, he says, you know, Tiger, you explain that like an old man, like an old person. What did you just say? And sometimes our explanation can lead us all the wrong direction too. But with that in mind, there's a gift of wisdom and a gift of knowledge. A lot of things there, but there's scripture to kind of help us understand. We think of wisdom and knowledge as gold nuggets. So it's a gift. What does that mean? Probably what's the most important thing to note if you're given a gift? Anybody got an idea? It's the idea that you didn't have. Does that make sense? So these things that are mentioned in Scripture for us to have are things that we don't have, we think we have them. But that's where the word comes into of importance in this passage, is where do you get the word of wisdom? Where do you get the word of knowledge? Now, a lot of people will use their experiences as knowledge and wisdom. That doesn't work spiritually. It doesn't work physically. It doesn't work mentally. It has to be word that is given by God. I remember the old preachers Brother Ralph or Brother Tab or somebody would call up a preacher to preach, and, "Brother, we need a word from you. Can you come help us?" We think we've got all the words we need. We got all the wisdom. We got all the knowledge. We got it all figured out. And by the way, that's not just for the 15, 20, and 25-year-old. That's also for the 50, the 60, 70, 80, 90-year-old. Yes, you've lived a few days, but unless you've been given that wisdom and knowledge from God, you do not have it. It's like salvation. Salvation is a gift, correct? It's a gift. We didn't have it. And there's no way for us to obtain it. For example, Brother Ray, just an illustration. Brother Ray says, "You know, Pastor, I love you, and here's $10 million, and I want to give this to you as a gift." Well, I didn't have it before, and there's no way for me to obtain it. So Brother Ray goes into his savings, and he tells his wife, "This is what we're going to do to be a help." Well, Brother Ray says, "There ain't no way I can do it." Exactly my point. You and I, we can give each other gifts. And a lot of times the gift is given in the wrong spirit. Many times we give the gift and we our head spins on our neck trying to help somebody, when in reality we're doing nothing but harming ourselves and harming others. One of the things in the last few years I've been a little more cautious with is, you know, I have a bad habit of, "I'd give you the shirt off my back." Well, the problem with that is you don't have a shirt on now. You have to be smart about these things. Are we able to do this? Are we financially able to do this? Are we physically able to do that? Probably 95% of the time we're not. And we do, I just think I got to do. No, you don't. The greatest gift, Christian, we can give each other is prayer time. That's it. What did we do before cell phones? Instead of sending, and Rachel, I'm not saying anything about this, but I've noticed a lot of people that don't have the right, they don't have the right attitude, they don't have the right reasons, they don't have this and that. We a lot of times will say or do for someone, and it's just to make us feel better. We'll send a text, "Praying for you today." I already knew that. "Well, I was trying to encourage you." I know. So let me encourage you to be in the Word. Now, it's funny because I get this so often. "Hey, how much Bible did you get in this morning? How much Word of God did you get this morning?" If you want to help me, go get in the Word and pray. That's how we help each other. And then those gifts that He gives us, we're able to use them. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. You knew that if there's anywhere to go for wisdom, it's the entire Bible. But let's go to Proverbs specifically. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's spend some time here in the book of Proverbs. Of course, chapter 8, in my opinion, is probably one of the most valuable chapters on wisdom. But let's take a look here at Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. Remember, a gift is something you don't have that you need. I get a kick out of Christmas and birthdays. How many gifts do we give that don't make sense to give? We just went through fireworks session. Now, I realize, well, I did this and I got this and I got that. But when you spend... And there's some people, I can't believe the amount of money they spend. Unbelievably stupid. Is one or two, bundle of bottle rockets going to hurt you? Probably not. What is that, $10, $20 now? Maybe a few firecrackers and those things you throw on the ground, those snaps or whatnot. Jamie didn't know this. Matthias and I taught him, I said, if you bite the top off of it and throw it down, it's louder. And Jamie was like, "Did you put that in your mouth?" I said, "Yep." And I had it in my, huh? I had one go off in my hand. But you can just barely pinch them and they'll go off. But yeah, they laughed at me because I pulled one out and as soon as I did that, it popped. But it don't work. Sparklers in your... When we as kids, we'd put a sparkler in our mouth and we'd run around or we'd, you know, dumb things that kids do, right? But I was doing that. I was showing my thigh. No, that's going to set your beard on fire. No, it'll be fine. I know what I'm doing. I'm a highly skilled kid. Anyway, in Proverbs, having this wisdom, knowing these different things, how does that help me help you or you help me with it? Look at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. What does that kind of point to? Well, it points to the fact you don't have. You ever rethink something that you thought and then you find out, wait a minute, what I was thinking wasn't very good, wasn't wise, wasn't smart. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, this verse goes back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to study thyself thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a lot of things that I've seen over time as I've pastored or studied myself. Wait a minute, you know, I'm going to have to rethink that idea. Brother Mike Carson and I have talked about a few things, and there's definitely some things going on in certain parts of Scripture that we think we've got figured out, but we actually don't. Whether it be a Calvinistic belief or an Arminianist belief or a Catholic belief or this and that, if it's not based in this Bible, then it's faulty. It's ruinous. It's destructive. So with that, verse 3, to receive. Now, he says to know in verse 2, but now in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That's probably another big problem. Not only in these gifts that are given of wisdom and knowledge, but to know that I don't have all the wisdom and knowledge. Don't know it all. Now it's to receive it. Boy, we could spend some time here, couldn't we? God wants to bless you with this wisdom and this instruction, but you hadn't spent any time in the Word to go get it. And then on top of that, He wants to give you this or this, but you won't do it. It's amazing. And I've been super guilty of this. When people want to do for you, oh, no, I got it. I tell you right now, you're a fool if somebody you don't want to let somebody help you. Let them, well, big deal if they don't do it your way. As long as it gets done, it gets done right. Now, I do want to do it right. I don't want to have to go back and redo it. I understand that. But it's also frustrating for us if we see somebody doing it a different way and they don't accomplish it. Well, why didn't you take time to teach them? I think a couple very valuable dishwashing lessons I learned is, first of all, when we were younger and Dad and Mom were teaching us how to wash dishes, is to get all the food off the forks and all the spoons. But what if you put a dirty fork back into the forks in your drawer? Well, you contaminate all the forks, do you not? Have you ever ate off a dirty dish? Your chances are you're going to get loose bowels if you eat off a dirty dish. That's disgusting. Well, you got to learn how to really scrub those things. Mom had the cast iron skillets and all, and sometimes, babe, I got a skeeter bite that's bothering me. I know it. So if I'm doing this, it's because it's like, what in the world? I've been around Brother Ray and everything just getting... Anyhow, going back to dishes and learning how to do dishes and doing them right. How do you clean a cast iron skillet? It's an interesting, and then you want to re-season it. You know, but do the younger people know how? Well, you know, and this is something we'll say, well, they just don't want to learn it. Don't give them a choice. Get in here. You're going to learn how to do these dishes right. I remember me and Bill, we didn't put things in the cupboards quite right. Basically, in Mom and Dad's opinion, they said we would open the drawers, step 5 feet back and just throw it up in there and then shut the drawers before it fell out. That was their thought. And you know what? That's true. And then Dad one time, he says, all right, I'll tell you what. If you're not going to put those back, and you know, a bunch of Tupperware back in the 70s and 80s, and they would all fit together nicely if you took time to do it. He said, fine. He got in the cupboard, pulled them all out. He says, all right, Dave, you're going to wash all them up, and Bill, you're going to put them back. And if it's not put back right, I'm going to make you wash them again and put them back up there. Well, that taught us how to take detail to the nth degree on making sure that lid was with that bowl. Because, you know, you can get lids mixed up and you go to grab a lid and you put it on there and it's not the right one. Anybody ever been frustrated like that? I have been. But you try to keep all the lids the same, or you try to keep the bowls, or you keep the lids with the bowls. It's detail. Well, how else is anybody going to learn it unless you teach it to them? Oh, I ain't got time or the energy for you today. Well, you better have. Mowing. I'll never forget the first time I ever started mowing. Dad had a little 19-inch, Sears and Roebuck special. Briggs and Stratton engine on it. And teaching us how to take that outside wheel and put it on that line and do this and that. I want straight lines. Do you know how hard that is for a 5 and 6 year old? But to this day, I know how to keep a line on a mower. It's so funny. The other day, Jeff come to me and he says, "Dave, I need you to do 2, 3, and 5. Can you do those fairways for me?" Well, sure. He said, "Good, because you're the only one I can trust to do a straight line." If you ever look at a golf course on TV and they're pristine, aren't they? And the lines are straight and all this is going on. And some of the guys, when they go, if you can see my hand, they might veer left and then veer right. And if you're standing up on the tee box, what do you see? You see a line that veered left, a line that veered right. So keeping straight lines. But you have to teach that. Now, with that, you have to receive it. I think the hardest problem for us today is to receive instruction and wisdom and knowledge. We get on our young people. Oh, I know that. And I've been so guilty of that. Oh, my word, on things. Oh, I got it. I know it. And did not know a thing about it. Had an idea, but just didn't know the right method. Correct? Method. Methods are important. How about cooking soft eggs, fried eggs, sunny side eggs. I don't care what you want to call it, but I need some yolk in the middle to put over my oatmeal or my grits, depending upon where I'm at. And what's the process? Well, I figured out a process years ago, and I kind of like it. I get my pan warm, put some butter in there, a little coconut oil in there, let it kind of melt, run around, and I'll put it on 7 to get it hot, to melt it down. And then I'll turn it down to 3, so the pan's been set on 7, turn it down to 3, bust my eggs up in there, let them kind of sizzle and cook a little bit. You can keep an eye on it. Yeah, I like to divide it up. If I got 3, make 3 and then plop them over, and we're done. Simple method. But I had to learn that. And you know, a cast iron skillet's going to be a lot different than our Teflon skillets today. On heat and on the amount of time and whatnot. Listen, if I want juicy eggs, Miss Catherine, I don't need you cooking them too long. And that happens, doesn't it? Y'all know what the difference between an egg being cooked too long and an egg being cooked right at the right time. You have to learn those things. And we're constantly learning. I remember many years ago, some 30 years ago or so, we started watching Emeril Lagasse. Remember what he would say if you ever watched him? He said, there's a hot, and there's a high, and there's a low, but there's this one setting in the middle. If you just learned to cook on that, you'd make a huge difference in your cooking. Isn't that the way? Some people went, you got this flame, and then others get it too low, and it, slow, you know, low and slow is a great way to smoke a ham, smoke some beef. I mean, yeah, that's a great way to go. But you learn those little things. We don't, and then while you even have, some of y'all been cooking for 70, 80 years, right, Miss Catherine? I mean, Miss Bency? Catherine gonna beat me. But you learn something new every time about cooking. Jamie's constantly, when she does her rolls, she's got a process, she knows how she wants to do it. But then there's little things that I wonder if this will make it different. I wonder if this will make it different. And you learn different ways so that when her, Had y'all ever had better rolls than what Jamie makes? Catherine, you ever had Jamie's rolls? I don't know if I've ever had anything better. But I'm not going to ask her to make biscuits. That's not her forte. But we did that one time, you remember? And they were hockey pucks. But I still ate them. I didn't care. They had that butter and the buttermilk and the butter flavorings. And over time, we adjust with our knowledge and our wisdom. Now, receiving for the human is the hardest thing because that means that the human being has to admit they don't know it all and they need that knowledge. When you finally submit to that point where you know you need it, boy, doesn't it make life a lot easier? Teaching somebody how to drive a car. Oh my goodness. I know it can be hair-raising. I understand that. But they have to learn somewhere. Thankfully, we had tractors and we had mowers to learn on. You had never learned to drive? Maybe we need to take you out and teach you how to drive a stick shift. Sister Catherine has never learned. You don't have a driver? You don't have? You never really? Bless your heart.
I find it funny that I can own a car, but I cannot enter because I don't have a license.
You don't have a license. Mm-hmm. Bless your heart. New Oldsmobile.
Got her in a ditch.
Well, don't let Jamie in a stick shift. Do you remember when I had you in that little Ranger truck I had? He tried to teach you? Yeah, in his red truck, how to drive a stick. Yeah. Learning. Now, you know, in order to receive, you have to submit. What is one of your biggest struggles in life? Submitting. I don't know, therefore I want you to teach. When I first started 4 years ago working at the golf course, one of the things I told Jeff right up front, Jeff, I've been on farmer, I know how to plant a garden, I know how to do a lot of different things, but I have no idea. And really, a golf course is a great big garden. It's like a heart of the country. It's a living, breathing organism. That's what a golf course is, with the grasses and the trees and the flowers. Just so many things going on. I said, I want to learn. And over time, he said to me a couple years ago, he says, Dave, you really don't know anything. I said, I don't. He said, that's what I appreciate about you. You're not only going to do it my way, but I'm going to be able to teach you. We have another guy, Tim. Tim's 70, and he's been in golf courses, worked golf courses since he was 10 years old. And to have that knowledge. And you know, you are so foolish if you don't receive good, solid wisdom and instruction. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Subtlety to the simple. And not a simpleton, but someone who is trying to keep it simple and give it that subtlety. How many jobs have you do and you get them done and somebody says, how'd you do that? Well, you have a method, you have instruction, you have wisdom. Then he mentions here, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Who's the one that's the hardest to get through our young people? Well, let's give some education to a young girl that's in love with this boy that's nothing but trouble. My mom told Jamie to run, and I was not in trouble. I wasn't a troublemaker. Right? Aren't you glad you didn't run? Goes in one ear and out the other. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I usually tell them, stop shaking your head and listen a minute. We had a young boy do that, and he was doing fairways, and that line was like, Dave, would you go out and fix that? Yeah, I'll go fix it. Beloved, do you understand? You're going to have to swallow some pride and ego if you're going to receive a gift. Now, he mentions in verse number 5, a wise man will hear. Boy, what's missing? Folks are listening. You know, Bishop Bensi, I know he mentions young people, but I also take it from this perspective. Who is older, you or God? God is. So every one of us, no matter what age we're at, are young people to God. That I am God. And then he mentions in 1 John, little children. Little children. You need to understand in the world that matters, God's older and we're younger. And to receive that instruction so that we have discretion. A lot of people I've noticed in some videos where they've had trouble. This Nick Shirley kid, and I'm glad of what he's doing, but there's a lot of other stuff. I want you to know I'm not going to go out there and purposely create or escalate any problems. And a lot of times that's what these people do. They show up purposely with the flag. God bless America. I'm a patriot. But they show up with a flag, a MAGA hat, and a bullhorn. And then they wonder why they get attacked by the idiots, by the devil worshipers. And by the way, that's what it is. It's either a worship of God Almighty or it's a worship of the devil. There's no other way to explain what's going on. And it has been for as long as man's been on this earth. Wisdom. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you won't receive that gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge, when you don't do it, you are a fool according to Scripture. If you've got a better way, I want to hear it. And I'd be foolish not to listen. Whether it's baking a cake, making a good meatloaf, the process to make tamales. It's an amazing process. I've never done it before, but I've been told about it. I sure like to eat them. But boy, to work them, that's a 1 and 2 day job to do it right. You know, it's are we receiving the instruction? First thing is we got to set our ego and our pride aside and say, I don't know. Second thing is now to receive what I don't know. And then the third thing is to realize that the knowledge and wisdom that I'm getting is not only for my benefit, but it's for everybody's benefit. When we get those three in line, then we can take these gifts of 1 Corinthians and help and be righteous. And the number one thing is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, not me. Not me. Everything I've learned, and I've noticed in the last 10, 15 years, but everything that I have learned, I want to learn it in a way that I can teach it. And I don't care whether it's the martial arts, the scriptures, how to pray. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things I've noticed in the last couple of years around here. Do you really know how to pray? And as a pastor, have I done my job in teaching you how to pray? Now, we have the model prayer of Matthew 6. We have the Lord's Prayer of John 17. And I don't think we understand the value in the prayers of Scripture to teach us how to pray. The praises in Scripture. How to praise Him. We need to learn these things. Come to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, this is the greatest chapter in the Bible, in my opinion, on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Hey, you don't know everything. Please receive my instruction. Because when you do, it's going to make you better. Then you can teach others and make them better. That's what he means by wisdom crying out. Verse 2, she standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates and at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Whether it be the Save America Act or this housing bill that President Trump didn't. I'm going to tell you right now, that was probably a bunch of junk in that. That the Republicans and Democrats. And the Democrats will come out and say, well, if your rent doesn't come down, it's because President Trump didn't decide your... Yeah, but you don't know about all the fraud and garbage it was in along with that. We're finding billions of dollars of fraud in Michigan, in California, in Minnesota, in New York, in Illinois, and the list goes on. Everywhere. You and I's tax money has been given. They found a leader over in Somalia that had done millions of dollars of fraud. They went and got him. And I'll be glad when they frog walk a lot of these politicians that are involved. But what's going to happen is, Wisdom's crying out and saying, listen, if you don't hear, and if you're not changed, you're not made different, the nation of America will be gone. Preachers are standing and saying, listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you'll burn in hell forever. Which one do you want? See, that wisdom is crying out, but most people aren't listening. And by the way, Christian, before you say, oh, I'm listening. Yeah, you're only listening to most of the stuff that you want to hear and none of the stuff you don't want to hear. God's crying out. God's preaching. God's doing this. God's doing that. Our country has preachers across it that stand and tell the truth and they're shot down for it. They're beaten for it. They are discarded and abandoned for it. And we've seen that right here in our own presence. And we're not the only church in America that's had people just go off. I mean, the way they took care of this church for the 50 years before I came in is horrible. They didn't take care of it. They put Band-Aids on it and duct tape. And we praise the Lord for the beams that are up and the roof that's up now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. But you gotta learn over time. You take care of God's stuff and you praise God for it and you see it as a gift. The buildings that God gives are gifts. They have been given and they can be taken away. There's so much in chapter 8, but I want you to notice in verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom. Hey! You've learned some, but now it's time to understand wisdom. O ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Now that's a desire to receive and to hear the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. We think we got the idea, and somebody comes along and says, no, wait a minute, I want you to rethink that. Oh, you know what? That's true. Okay, I see what you mean by that. I would be foolish. Number 6, verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. Verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. 9, they are plain. That means they're understandable if you'll have that desire. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, it doesn't say anything about the evil person. It's to hate evil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so many people will hate the person. Listen, I'm thankful God didn't hate me. I'm glad that by His love He sent the Lord Jesus to die for me. Did He hate my sin? Absolutely. And according to Scripture, He hates the workers of iniquity because their final end is hell fire, condemnation, and wrath. There's so much here. Verse 17, I love them that love me. Do you love wisdom? Do you love understanding? Do you love knowledge? Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and honor, riches and righteousness. Things that matter last. Anything from God is eternal. Anything from us is temporary. So with that in mind, come back to 1 Corinthians. If you get a chance, Proverbs 8 would be a great one to study this week or this month or for the rest of the year even. There's so much in Proverbs chapter 8, but as you make your way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's quickly look at verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The gift of wisdom. One, knowledge and understanding are from God alone. 2 + 2 = 4, unless you're in some of these other schools and they come up with 3 and 5 and 1.2. But I was taught 2 + 2 = 4. Well, who taught me? A teacher. Where'd that teacher get it from? When they were a student, they were taught it. We're handing it down over and over again. Where did the real wisdom come from? It had to come from God. It can't come from anywhere else. You have no understanding and no wisdom outside of God. It must come from God alone. All wisdom and all understanding has knowledge, has got to come from God. It is an ability to explain by preaching and teaching this gift of wisdom. God gives the ability to now explain by preaching and teaching. Boy, I tell you, some of the great preachers of the past that Jamie and I have got to sit under and you've been able to hear. And some of the teachers, I go back to Mrs. Cheatham, Miss Ruth Cheatham. Boy, I miss Miss Ruth teaching me at 7 and 8 years old. I miss that. Mrs. Winschief or Mrs. Smith teaching us and whatnot. And what a blessing. I miss that. They had an ability. Pastor Charlie, Pastor Brother Ralph Coleman, Pastor Dr. Tab, Pastor Williams. And hopefully, Lord willing, he'll be able to be with us in November. But there's some of these great preachers. Brother Raider. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, he's a smart cookie. He's sharp. And you get around some of those guys that aren't liked, that's generally the reason. Is they've got into the Word of God, and we need that. Not everybody's given the ability to stand and give the Word of God, give wisdom. Not everybody has the ability to stand and teach martial arts. I think if you start young, you can. And even those who think they can't, become very good teachers. Jamie's one of them. The things that she's doing now, I'd have never seen her do 15 years ago. And the way she can get the children to do things. Of course, Brother Ray and I are back there. Let's just break wood and let's just put bruises on each other. No, Jamie gets out balloons. Jamie will get this out. Jamie will get that out. And the kids just absolutely love it. And I'm thinking, okay, if that works, it works. There's an ability. And the thing about the gift of wisdom is how to apply the Word of God to your daily practice. We need instruction with that. That's where that gift of wisdom comes in. By the way, it's a gift. That means you don't have. God has. He wants to give it if you'll receive it. And then these gifts are not only to realize we don't have, received. Now how do we teach that gift? Pastor Charlie taught me the gift of tying a knot on a hook so I could go fishing. He then proceeded to teach me how to tear an earthworm apart, and that way you got more worms to fish with, and how to put that on the hook right with a bobber, and how the whole system works, and voila, here comes a bluegill. Here comes a bass. The gift of wisdom. Now, the gift of knowledge, and I'm trying to kind of move through here quickly. The gift of knowledge is instruction on how to do. When to do it, where to do it, and when to do it. That's that gift of knowledge. It's instruction on how to do. How do you tie your shoes? When to do it. Well, when do you tie your shoes? Well, when you put them on. Where do you put them on? Well, I try to put them on where I'm not in the way. People have this knowledge, but sometimes they don't have the knowledge as to where to be. You know, the righteous are to be as bold as a lion. But there's a time when you're not. And I'm not talking about compromising. You just can't be a bull in a china shop going there and busting everybody up with the knowledge you think you've got. It has to be tempered. And knowledge and wisdom has got to be tempered by the Holy Spirit, by the compassion of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. You know, people don't need blah, la, 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 right? They might need la, 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 la. When I was learning to lead singing, I would just use my hands and do patterns, and Brother Gary Carwell was real, and Sister Alice Vale was real instrumental on 4/4 time and 3/4 time. Well, when I got to Bible College at Pensacola, Geddes Allen was my teacher in evangelistic song leading. That was my first class. We had a hymn book we had to buy, and boy, it was a great little hymn book. And he noticed I already had my patterns, I had my rhythms. I knew how to stand and deliver. And the only thing he taught me to do, Dave, hold an egg. Okay. Now, do that. This and this. Have you ever seen song leaders do this? That's not very inviting to sing. But this is. See how peaceful that is? And having that flow, whether it's a 4/4 time or a 3/4 time or 6/8 time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2. You see, there's a lot of different little patterns to each of the time signatures of music. But if I'm, and when we get to certain words, there's victory in Jesus, right? That's a great thing to do. But if I was to say, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Well, that's not very inviting to sing that, nor to understand what the song leader is trying to teach us. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Whoa. Or, I surrender all. No. I surrender all to Jesus. See, it's more, we have to be cautious in the wisdom and knowledge and how we are. So with that in mind, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. In that, there are three specific skills. Number one, with the gift of knowledge is a specific skill of counseling. With knowledge and wisdom, both, you could put them both with this, but there's a specific skill. Not everybody's for counseling. By the way, do you know what the number one key to counseling is that they don't teach in the schools? Just listen. Most people are not looking for an answer or a solution. They're just looking for somebody to talk to. Now, I will say this. If you're going for counseling and you're that person, you're a fool. If you're going to anybody for counseling, you need to be going there to get some wisdom and knowledge, some instruction. Most of us aren't doing that. We want to try to find people that we can gripe about another person or another situation who will agree with us. Yeah, you know, that Ray Mills, right? In the gift of knowledge, there's a specific skills for doing or organizing. Those are specific skills that God gives you. You didn't go to sleep one night and wake up the next morning with all this skills. You didn't. Of course, trial and error is probably one of the best ways to learn, is it not? Well, and I finish with this. With the gift of knowledge here, as the Holy Spirit's given this, it's a specific skills for method and direction to solve or build, never to tear down. I didn't write that in there, but it just came to my mind. The reason is I want us to move forward solving the problem according to God's Word, building according to God's Word. Those are the two things. I'll finish with this. One of the things that the men hated when I first came here, once a year I said, fellas, let's walk through and let's see the things that need to be done. Let's write them down. Now, Gordon McGarry was all for it, but the rest of them weren't. Because it required that they actually have to work, number one, and it required us all pooling our resources together to fix the problem. Money was, well, that's resources, sis. They didn't like that part. Fellas, this needs to be fixed. Fellas, this needs to be fixed. Fellas, this... And they... I'm telling you right now, I know Keith Geyer was very upset with me about that. All he wanted to do was move the kitchen from the basement upstairs. And then I'd been here 3 months and they left. Eloy got mad at me for giving her a Spanish Bible. Yeah. Oh, it was. And of course, Keith got mad at me. I said, well, Keith, who wears the pants in the family? Well, she did. There's no Bible to that. So trying to take any kind of instruction and wisdom, they blew up. Forgive me, y'all. I guess I wasn't raised to be a mealy-mouthed mouse of a man. I wasn't. And I look back at all that I had. I'm going to tell you right now, I hated the way those old-timers would teach. But boy, they got their point across. Anything you do for God, you ought to do it as a soldier and the very best of your ability. So with that in mind, understand that wisdom and knowledge are a gift. Father, thank you for this Sunday school hour, and I pray it's been a big help to us. And Lord, help us to understand we don't know. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the knowledge. Help us to receive the knowledge and wisdom from you. And then lastly, be able to teach the wisdom and to teach the knowledge. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.